He was on television for 50 years. He hosted only two shows. In addition to those two, he was a frequent panelist on two others, Match Game and Tattletales. And on Tattletales, he also guest hosted at least one show. I'm not sure whether he did any more than that or not. But the one thing that I know he did was the fact that he was very definitely an animal rights activist. And he spoke up quite a bit for them. Rich Fields, since you're my new Facebook friend, would you mind doing the honors and introducing who we're going to remember on this podcast? Rich, thank you very much. We remember a legend as we get going here tonight on the podcast. Let's set it up. If you haven't heard already, then I'm sorry to be the one to have to tell you that a little over a week ago, Bob Barker, the legendary host of Truth or Consequences and The Price is Right, passed away at age 99. He left behind a legend. The show that still goes on even to this day. And a lot of animals have also been saved thanks to his efforts, his and Dorothy Jo's efforts. For this podcast, since he hosted two shows, it seems to be appropriate to remember how he was on both of them, starting with Truth or Consequences, ending with The Price is Right. So that's what we're going to do. Bob Barker has passed on at age 99. Segment number one, we'll remember Truth or Consequences. The second and final, The Price is Right. We'll get going right after this. If you're looking for a church to go to on Sunday morning, may I suggest one to you? This is Terry Runyon from the podcast, here to share with you about my church, which is Fabian United Methodist Church in Gladstone, Missouri. We have our services at 11 o'clock in the morning. We have a very, very positive group, a community of faith unlike any other I have ever seen. And for the first time in several years, we have not one, but two pastors who also are in charge of the services at another church before they join us. We have a very strong faith family. And if you are down spiritually for any reason at all, or if you're looking for a way to be lifted up or inspired, whatever the case may be, I invite you to join us 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, Fabian United Methodist Church, in Gladstone, Missouri. I very vaguely remember Truth or Consequences, but I thought it might be kind of fun to play a version of this show to kind of help you and help me also learn it a little bit. The capsule rule for the game was this. You answer a riddle, which was considered truth, and you answer correctly, you don't have to go through the consequences, which is just nothing more than stunts. A prelude to double dare, sounds to me like. But in any case, let's go through a 19... Let me play some audio for you from the 1950s, when Bob hosted A Truth or Consequences. And I'll be able to explain it a little bit better as we go. So without further ado, here we go.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for that nice welcome. We have a wonderful group from all over the country here at our show by way of the Gray Line. And I went up into the audience just before the show. I found several contestants, two of them men. I'd like to have them right out here with me, if I may, please. Right over here. Fitz, right up beside me, nice and close, so we can all get the same shot here. And tell me your name.
Scott Belden.
Mr. Belden, where do you live?
Portland, Oregon.
What do you do up in Portland?
I'm a mill worker in a sawmill there near Timberline Lodge.
And you told me that you were kind of tired. Have you just driven in from Portland?
Yeah, I drove down from Portland last night, and I was rather than go to bed, I just go around and do something.
I'm glad that we are what you decided to do, Mr. Belden, because you look to me now, you are a pretty trim young fella, and you're in good shape, aren't you?
Working the kind of work I do.
Now, speaking of trim, you're going to be all right anyway. What is your name?
Bernie Straley.
And Bernie, you told me you're in good shape.
Right.
Where are you from, Bernie?
San Bernardino, California.
What do you do out in San Bernardino?
I manage McDonald's drive-in restaurant.
Oh, that would explain the beginning of the little log. How are we going to shake hands? Is there a couple of
hamburgers?
Yes, you right there. Mr. Straley and Mr. Belden, I have a question for you. The question is this. Why was the wife concerned because her husband was a light drinker? Rather unusual situation. Sorry, time's up. Why was the wife concerned because her husband was a light drinker? Every night he'd drink until it got light. I say every night he'd drink until it got light.
I wouldn't have got that.
What'd you say?
I wouldn't have got that.
I wish I hadn't gotten it either. Now, gentlemen, I think that I have a real thrill in store for you. Why don't you both just step over just a little bit there, because I have a guest on the show I would like to introduce. I think our entire audience is going to enjoy meeting the very talented Scott Crimson. Welcome to our show, and what are you going to do for us? I think our audience would like to see what you have in store.
Well, I'm going to cut it right at 1 foot today.
All right.
Stay like that. That's not so bad, is it?
No. Can you go all the way around that way?
Oh, you would say that.
How about riding with no feet? Well, you did it with 1 foot. You're going to do it with no feet?
Yeah. That should be easier. Yeah, here we go. No feet.
Hey! Actually, that's kind of cheating when you do that way. How long does it take you to learn to do this, Don?
Oh, it takes about a month or so to learn how to ride frontwards.
Uh-huh.
So when you're learning how to ride backwards or do any tricks on it, it takes quite a while.
Well, how long have you been doing it?
About 17 years.
Uh-huh. Is it possible for a fellow who runs a McDonald's hamburger stand and a mill worker from Portland, Oregon, how fast could they do something like that?
Well, I think they could learn today.
I mean, if they're really in good shape.
Yeah, they're in good shape. They think it's
and good thinkers and the right attitude.
That's right.
Join me over here, will you please? Do we have more of these unicycles?
First, why don't we give the hamburger stand manager, let him have that.
There you are. That's for you. What's your first name?
Bernie.
I got one for the mill worker. For Mr. Belden.
Yeah, right. The trees.
Oh, up in the trees. They're good. Oh, man. That's beautiful. Well, I'll tell you what, let's put that right over here, will you please? Let's move him over here. Move over where they've got a little bit more room. That's it. Goodbye. Well, now wait, this is going to be more exciting, I would imagine. So let's let him, let's start with him. Do you mind?
Okay.
The two are riding unicycles, ladies and gentlemen.
Be careful about your fingers, or you might get them. Don't get your fingers caught up in here, Mr. Belden. See, keep your hands up above that. In fact, don't get any part of you caught in there. It would be very bad.
Now, what I want you to do, I want you to put the pedal straight up and down like this. I want you to hang on to the seat with both hands. And that's the very first thing. Now, kind of put your foot on the pedal.
Have fun, Bernie.
All right. Yeah. All the way.
I want you to smile, everybody.
Yeah, they all
want. Now, you just do that like that. Okay, now let's go.
two on top of a unicycle. The McDonald's man was a bit heavy, let's just say that. Bob has the disadvantage because he is holding a microphone. The unicycle, I do believe, is taller than he is, and he just fell off. As I mentioned, my friends, this show was, from my viewpoint at least, a preview before Double Dare. And then he falls off the unicycle.
Now watch what he does. Now he does it fast. He doesn't waste a lot of time.
He got on.
Okay. Now you're going to catch his hand. All right. Now you get out of point. I'll hold it for you. Get
up. He is absolutely nuts.
You stay back here, Bernie. I'll help you. I just want to get Bernie back. I don't want it in my way when I'm getting out of here.
He's on, he got on, and he's, holy cow, still moving. Up the Truth or Consequences audience. Holy cow. Belindy Brothers, unicycle team, I guess. They're good. I think that, though, before this segment ends, He fell off once again, by the way. We're going to go another direction, I think. As I always say, the spirit of the show dictates. So, to start things, let's just do the first question. As soon as we get through 30 seconds of commercial, come on, guys. Come on. Come on. That, my friends, was what you call a comedy show. First round of Tattletales. Here we go.
Everyone in this arena has a money stake in one of our famous couples as we play the game of celebrity gossip, Tattletales. And here's today's MC on Tattletales MC Week, star of The Price is Right, Bob Barker.
A chance for him to introduce serious questions. Buffering.
A lot more applause when you limp, don't you, huh?
How'd you break your toe?
I have a broken toe. That's all right, I'm brave and I'm going to carry on. I want to welcome you to the Bob Barker Show 76. We have MC Week here on Tattletales, and Bert Convy did the show himself on Monday, and Gene Rayburn did a beautiful job yesterday, and I propose to do a better job today. Now, I'd like to have you meet our panel over here. First of all, may I introduce the lovely Elaine Joyce.
I love you, Bob Barker.
Bobby Van of Show Off. Here they are. Bobby, how do you feel today?
I feel great, and Elaine's going to be crazy about you because you gave her first billing.
Well, I promised her that I would. Well, Elaine, you're lovely.
You're a sweetheart.
Yes, I think I'll go back there.
Wait a
minute. Come on.
Now, next to Bobby here, we have the fellow that, of course, you recognize if you have been watching Tattletales, as you should, the star of Tattletales, Bert Convy, and his wife, Annie.
Thank you.
He's in the banana section for this show.
And Bert, what comments do you have on the way the week is going so far?
So far, it's going really good. I there's one thing I do miss, and that is the kiss that you get when you get the microphone from a pretty girl like that. I forgot about that. Oh, you didn't know about that, did you, Ann?
No, what?
Nothing, Ann. Sorry. Everything is fine so far. Somehow you put me in the bananas, and I feel I belong here. It seems I'm right.
And Annie, you'll be playing for the banana section
today. That's right.
And I wish you luck.
Thank you. We're ready.
What did he mean by that?
For her, it's perfect casting.
Yes. Now, down on the end, the star of Match Game, Gene Rayburn and his wife, Helen.
Gino in the red section.
Hey, you did a beautiful job yesterday. I can tell you're in a beautiful mood today.
I thank you.
And Helen, we'll be expecting you to match everything Gene says in here.
With last billing, I'll try my best. Bob.
Now, I have a first question here, which we'll ask you girls to answer. And it's not a question, it's a letter, actually. Ladies, you win a showcase. And incidentally, we'll have some questions that tie in with Truth or Consequences or with The Price is Right or beauty pageants or the type of thing that I do. Ladies, you win a showcase on a special edition of The Price is Right. And I offer you the famous Bodinor diamond. It's worth $1 million, but it carries a legendary curse that its owner will die a horrible death within 5 years. A dozen owners have died this way. I stipulate that you must keep the diamond for 10 years before you can sell it. Now, would you accept this prize or turn it down? Now, you think it over for a moment. Goodbye, girls. And while they're thinking, Bobby, I'd like to have you tell us, do you think that Elaine will accept this diamond or will she not?
What I think? I think she wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
$1 million diamond.
I don't care what it did. I don't think she... Money means nothing if you're going to die. And if there's a chance she might die, she's not going to touch this diamond. You want to throw in a Rolls Royce and a fur coat and sit there. No, I don't really think that she'd touch it. I would hope that she wouldn't, because I wouldn't want to even worry about it when it was 4 years and 11 months. And nothing's happened.
All right, let's find out. Now, Bobby says that she will not accept it. Let's have Elaine back. Elaine, you remember the question?
I want you to read it again.
It's only a half-hour show.
No,
Elaine, would you accept the diamond or would you not?
Now, all the people who have owned it have died, huh?
Yes.
Bobby's not going to believe this, Bob, but I wouldn't accept it.
You would not accept it? That makes Bobby very happy.
Oh, you're kidding!
Yeah,
that's what I said, brother.
That's
right.
That's what he predicted you would say.
That's
not
right.
Only is Bobby happy, the blue section
that's
is happy.
That's right.
Are you happy too, Bob?
Of course I am. I don't
want
anything
no,
to
not you.
You the hell with the diamond. Who cares about a diamond?
Bob Barker.
Yes, I'm happy for you.
Oh, tomorrow.
All right. On we go to you, Bert. Bert, what do you predict?
Is this a fact? I mean, this really is a fact that this happened?
Well, I don't know. It's your show. Are these always factual?
Well, I always
these
like
things
to know
they put
where
on
you get this information.
That you read, are they always factual?
Not always, no.
No.
What's the name of the diamond?
The Bodinor diamond.
The Bodinor diamond?
Bodinor diamond.
Yeah. Well, if it was the
it's
whole
worth $1 million.
It was a diamond.
But its owners have died horrible deaths
in
within 5 years.
Oh, within 5 years. And I got to
think how much fun you could have with $1 million for 5 years.
Yeah, but not if
a dozen
dead
owners
for five
have died
years,
this
dozen,
way.
What?
A dozen owners have died.
A dozen have died.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I wanted to get rid of her, I could tell her to keep the diamond, couldn't I? But I don't want to. No, I'm crazy about her. I don't think she'll... she won't go for the diamond.
She will not accept the diamond. All right, the banana section seems pleased. Let's find out. Annie, let's have her back. Annie, you have heard the question. Tell me, would you accept the Bodinor diamond or not with its purse?
No, I don't. I'm a very cheap date. My idea of fashion is blue jeans and a new pair of mukluks. I don't want the diamond.
That's right.
What
was
that?
All right. On we go to you, Gene.
Well, now, you said 5 years. They die in 5 years.
They die within 5 years.
But you say you got to keep it for 10 years. Well, how the heck can you do that if you're going to be dead in 5 years?
Well,
what kind of dumb question is this?
It's going to the second 5 years. You won't go out a lot and wear it, apparently. I guess the hope is that if you accept it, the curse would not have its effect on you, and you would go on. In any event, you can't get rid of it for 10 years.
Well, you didn't tell me that, or I'd have taken the diamond.
You mean it's not certain that you're going to die?
Oh, just answer the question, Chief.
Well,
you might.
It's just that it does have a curse that its owner will die a horrible death within 5 years. Now, it's not guaranteed that you will die. Perhaps we could add that to the warranty if you wish, but...
It's 12 months or whoever dies first.
Yeah. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Well, I think... Well, if you're going to die, who wants a diamond? Life is more valuable than a diamond.
Yes. Is that your answer then? That you will not?
I don't think Helen will go for it.
You do not.
Yeah, if she's gone.
All right. The red section seems to be pleased. Let's have Helen with us then. Helen, are you going to accept the diamond or are you not?
Well, if you gave it to me today and I gave it for 10 years, I'd be 102 by the time the curse was over, so I'd keep it.
Gene had predicted that you would not keep the diamond.
What a shame.
Of course, with Match Game doing so well, Gene will probably buy you one anyway.
That's right.
Now, let's see. We have Elaine and Bobby were correct in their answer. Ann and Bert were correct in their answer. Each of you has won $75 on our first question. And we will be back with our second question. And who knows what after this.
He had quite an approach as an MC with the comical, at times, Truth or Consequences, as well as Tattletales. But he became a legend when another show came into being around 1972. We will get to that show on the other side of this break. coming to Stormont Vale Event Center, Friday night, October 23rd, with special guest Josh Abbott Band, singer-songwriter Dierks Bentley. He sings with his heart on his sleeve. He is very, very energetic. His shows are energetic as well. This is one show you don't want to miss. Coming to, once again, the Stormont Vale Event Center in Topeka, October the 23rd, Dierks Bentley, Josh Abbott Band. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster. Bob Barker hosted The Price is Right for 35 of his 50 years on television. And there are so many memories that I think I could very easily have used to remember him for this show. But I think I found a bunch of them thanks to a 25th anniversary special that occurred way back in 1997. So, with that in mind, let's go into the Wayback Machine and go back to when Bob hosted. We knew most of the models and we knew Rod. So here we go.
I'm waiting to make my entrance for the Price is Right 25th anniversary special. Stick
Rod's doing his usual routine. Johnny Olsen introduced him. You wanted enthusiasm, Bob. You got plenty of it. This one won take, it was going to get ready to play take two. This lady won the grand game, and Bob's having trouble. Quite a few ladies did that through the years. She won the any number game. He wasn't a Samoan, I don't think.
I've got to know something. You don't happen to be from Samoa, do you? I tell you, it's a miracle that I've survived, isn't it? It is. But I still have the strength to say, here is the first item up for bids on The Price is Right. This is the next item up for bids, and The Price is Right. It's a freezer.
Johnny O.
$746. Think of that, only $2746. Now that was the first car we gave away, but to
Bob Barker made playing for the car a lot of fun to watch. Lucky 7 wasn't a very easy game to play. I used to own a board game version of The Price is Right. And one of the games we played quite often was Lucky 7. But unfortunately, my brother was the one who ended up playing it, and he'd lose. One time he just gave it to me, I took a shot at it, I lost as well. More people won than lost, I think, on that show, but in any case, the reminiscing was a lot of fun when you hear from the man himself doing the reminiscing. Bob set it up perfectly. And these were the kind of memories from The Price is Right that I know are going to live on in memories for a long, long time. He ended his show in a very traditional way, and I'll focus a little bit on that one as we wrap up the podcast. And we will do that right after this. Imagine yourselves in a concert hall. You're anticipating the main event. Your enthusiasm level really starts to jump when you hear music like this. You have a wide smile. The anticipation level is very high, and then on October the 6th, Ameristar Casino will be the place. They're coming back, my friends. The Oak Ridge Boys have one show on that particular night. The multi-award-winning quartet and my heroes will be back. I will be there, and I hope you will be too. You can get your tickets online at oakridgeboys.com. The legendary Oak Ridge Boys, October the 6th, Ameristar Casino. Be there. Next time on the podcast, it's going to be our 9/11 show. And this is the first 9/11 show that I've had a guest. My best friend, friend of the show, Dan Leach, is going to join me with something that I think he's always wanted to do. That's lead the Pledge of Allegiance. We've had Everything America on the 9/11 shows before. Pledge of Allegiance we have not had, and he will take care of that for us, and we'll just have him do that to begin the show. And we'll have two new readings that I've come across. In addition to that, maybe some new America-related music. I'll throw some songs of my own in, and we'll just see what happens as we go. The 9/11 show. It will drop next week right here on the New Directions podcast. Bob Barker was very definitely class personified. Regretfully, I never had the chance to meet him, but like a lot of other people, we knew him on television, and he was very definitely a talent. He will be missed. Drew Carey had a tough act to follow when he took over for Bob in 2007. He's done very well, but the memory of Bob Barker is still going to last for a long, long time to come, especially when you're playing for the car. I'll miss him especially for that. Bob, thank you for a lot of years of fun, and it was a lot of fun watching you. I remember you more from Price is Right than Truth or Consequences, but I liked watching you. You were great. And Godspeed to you. You will be missed. In that regard, that's going to wind things up for this edition of the New Directions podcast. Thank you for being with me as always. We will see you next week when the subject will be 9/11. Until then, I'm going to leave you with Bob's final closing thoughts as he wound up his show in 2007, which was his last. Bob, you and Rich get us out of here, would you?
You win, Denise. You are our winner. Denise has won more than $140,000. Now, folks, I want to thank you very, very much for inviting me into your home for the last 50 years. I am deeply grateful. And please remember, help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered. Goodbye, everybody.
This is Rich Fields speaking for The Price is Right, a Mark Goodson television production.